But let's open up to Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bible, which you should. Thank you so much, Justin. We have we're going to be in Luke chapter 8 today. It's going to be really cool. We're going to talk about storms as we continue on in Treasure Church. If you don't know, this is our series we've been going through on Wednesday nights. And so it's been really good because we've been getting to get some nautical action on. And we're going to continue today with storms on the sea. So as you make your way, Luke chapter 8, we're going to be in verse 22. I'll pray. You guys get there. Lord God, thank you so much for this day you've given us, Father. It's a beautiful day outside. It's been so nice out lately, God, and we just want to give it to you, Lord. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, come down here, God. You would dwell with us, Lord. You'd calm anybody's heart, Lord, who's just a little anxious right now or whatever they have going on, God, and that we would just be able to give you this short time, Lord, and then lead it into worship, which we're so excited about, Lord, and taking the Lord's Supper, something that we're going to do for a long time, and we're excited about that. So, Lord, we just pray that tonight you would bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but if you ever live near a certain body of water, anything, even like a river or anything, like you can't help but like try to go find some rocks and then throw like a rock in there and then like eventually get bigger rocks, and you love making like a big splash, right? It's pretty fun to like throw stuff into the lake. It's like inevitable. If you're ever at the ocean, people are just throwing stuff in there. You're at a lake, people are like throwing stuff in there. It's funny. But here's the deal. Here's what's funny. An ounce that weighs no more than like a rock that weighs no more than like an ounce or two, or even maybe even a half a pound. It's funny, right? You throw it in the water, and what does it do? Automatically, bloop, like sinks right to the bottom. Never floats, right? Which is funny because it's only about a couple ounces. But think about this. A Carnival cruise ship weighs about 70,000 tons and it floats. Funny, right? That a little rock this big will sink to the bottom, but a 70,000 ton Carnival cruise ship won't. And that's the difference. The difference here is how it's constructed, right? The law of buoyancy says that a ship or anything, in fact, will float if the weight of it on the water displaces or pushes enough water aside, a certain volume of water, that ship or that object will float, no matter what it is. So it's about the shape that determines on if it floats or not. Dictionary.com says that the word float means to rest or remain on the surface of a liquid. So not to be taken under the liquid. Very cool thing I found. I actually have a picture of it. I found that maybe those of you guys who have a pool at your house, it's going to be coming up. If you guys have a pool at your house, here's a floating speaker. Cohen, you got that next slide for me, buddy? Here's a floating speaker. That's pretty sweet. So you can take your iPod, make like a playlist, put the iPod inside your house, and then take that speaker, which is waterproof, and just throw it in the pool. How sweet is that? You can just sit there and listen to music while you're swimming. Maybe some of you guys want that. Or check out that thing to the right. That is that waterproof floating iPhone iPod case. That's real. This is real things that I found. So that you can literally, if you have an iTouch, whatever, you want to buy that thing, you can take it, go underwater, and be like playing a game. How epic is that? That's pretty amazing. Well, as we continue our voyage here at Treasure Church, we don't want to look at what it takes to keep a boat afloat. We want to look at what it takes to keep a Christian afloat in a storm of life. Storms can be devastating to a ship, as well as storms in our lives can be devastating to our walk with God. Tonight we're going to look into a boat ride that Jesus and his apostles took one day that only almost turned into shipwreck. We're going to look at the reason for the storms in our lives. We're going to look at the response we should have to the storms in our lives. We're going to look at the remedy to calm the storms in our lives. And then we're going to see that after all of that, there should be a realization. So we'll look at that. I hope after this lesson, you guys will know how to float when it comes to the storms of life. You won't be taken under by all the things in the world. Before we get started, though, let's read our entire text. So we're Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he, that's being Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water to obey him." I think they said it was Albert Einstein who said that everything happens for a reason. You've probably heard that before. And that's partially true, but what they missed was they should have said that everything happens for God's reason. And so we want to look at the reason why God allows and even brings storms into our lives, and that's in verse 22. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day." The first thing I want to look at is that. I know it says a certain day, but there's many other translations that say it happened on a day. A certain day, just, it didn't mean like it did now, where it's like a certain day. Like, "Hey, I need you to come over on a certain day." You would be like, "That's a certain day. That's a specific day." This just meant any other day, any normal day. That's what we want to recognize here, because here's the deal. The disciples are just like you and I, all right? They have no ability to see the future. For them, it was just another day. They probably traveled on this lake many, many times. But here's the deal. They didn't know this day that a storm was going to come into their lives. But guess who did, obviously? God knew. God clearly knew that a storm was coming, and Jesus clearly knew. And so God is behind this storm, ultimately, that's about to take over the boat of the disciples. Here's the deal. In the Bible, Satan is called, one of his names is the prince and the power of the air. Okay? So it could have been very much Satan who wanted to bring this storm among Jesus and the disciples so that he could try to wreck their ship. But here's the deal. Even if it was Satan behind it, we know that from the book of Job, if you guys don't know that, we can talk about it later, but here's the deal. Satan can do nothing without God's permission. So maybe it looks something like this. Here's the deal. We also see in the book of Job, there's like this behind-the-scenes world going on that we know nothing about. It's as if God and Satan are watching life happen. But here's the deal. God can see the future. God knows what's going to happen, but Satan can't. So at this point, Satan may be thinking, here we go. Here's the disciples. Here's Jesus. They're getting on a boat. What can I do to destroy them? I'll bring a storm that will surely sink their boat. But God, who's clearly in full control, when the devil wants to harm Jesus and the disciples, God is going to use this, like he mostly does in our life, as a time for growth. Jesus wants the disciples to trust in what he says. And what did he say in verse 22? We just saw it. He says, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So God has given them an opportunity to show that they trust Jesus. He told them that they're going to the other side of the lake. But they didn't trust in him enough, obviously. Because when the storm came, it says that they basically freaked out, right? The disciples are really freaking out. They're scared. And so they're looking for Jesus for help. But what about you guys? When something seems like it's going wrong in your life, do you trust in what Christ has already said, or do you sit there and freak out like the rest of the disciples? So often we think that the problems and storms in our lives are bad things, but they can't necessarily be that because they're from God. And so then why does God bring storms into our life? Why does he bring hard times into our lives? And the reason is to give us an opportunity to show that we really trust what he said. Like the things, remember what he said? Remember when Jesus said, "I'll never leave or forsake you"? Remember when he said, "Be of good cheer, I already overcame the world"? If the disciples really believed in what Christ said and who he claimed to be, they would have been a lot more calmer on the ship once the waves started to come and once the wind started to come. Because here's the deal, it's easy for all of us to praise and obey and love God when it's nice and sunny outside, right? When it's sunny in our lives, when everything's going really well in our lives. It's a lot harder to praise God when you're being persecuted. But here's the deal. Those things like persecution and hard times give you a chance to grow in love and grow in faith. Problems in your life always have a meaning behind them, and that meaning is an opportunity to grow. So what will your response be then? That brings us to our second point, which is called the response. I read in a Washington Times, it said that President Obama was meeting with credit card executives last April. And obviously, it must have been over the current economic status, but while Obama was giving his talk, his top financial advisor was at the end of the table taking a nap. I got a picture of this. Look at this. Let me get that picture, Con. All right, look at that guy. Is that hilarious or what? Can you believe that? Two very different reactions. Look at Barack Obama. He looks pretty like, I'm about to talk. And that guy's, well, he's taking a nap. And then look at those guys at the end. They're like, we're listening, Mr. President, right? But then but then that guy, he's just zonked out. So two very different responses to this. And check it out. We're going to see two very different responses in our text as well. Let's read verses 23 and 24. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water. And they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke and said, Master, Master, we're perishing. So let's first start with the apostles' response to a storm. It says, as soon as some water got in their boat, they woke Jesus up and said, we're perishing, we're dying. Now here's the deal. A lot of them were fishermen. They've been on this ship. They've probably been on this passage, this voyage, many times before. So if they're that scared, this must have been a heck of a storm. This must have been a serious storm. But still, I think they were a little dramatic. You guys know how it is. Sometimes people are like, I'm starving to death. And you're like, dude, you haven't eaten in 3 hours? You're not starving to death. In like 3 weeks, you might still make it. So they're being a little bit dramatic. And I think that the disciples were also a little dramatic here, because they wake Jesus up and basically say, we're dying, as if they just like got stabbed and they're bleeding on the boat or something. Like there's just a little bit of wind and water coming in. So the disciples had one good response and one bad response. Here's the deal. The good response they had was that when they were scared, when they felt like they weren't going to make it, they sought Jesus. They went over to Jesus to help them. And that's a great thing to do. This is the best thing that any of us can do in the middle of something in our lives where we feel as if we're not going to make it. We've all had moments where we're overwhelmed. The best thing to do is like the disciples did, seek Jesus, because he has the power, the wisdom, and the desire to calm the storm. And in fact, one person said that God necessarily doesn't calm the storm, but he calms the believer in the midst of the storm. That was the good thing the disciples did. You want to know the bad thing the disciples did? They didn't trust in the words of Jesus. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Meaning, we're going there. But they didn't hear that. The disciples would soon learn that physical Jesus in human flesh would not always be with them. That they weren't always going to have Jesus to hold on to physically. But they need to understand, and we need to understand, that it doesn't matter if we can't touch physical Jesus, because the Bible says he'll never go away. He'll never leave. So we need to know that in the storms of life, just because Jesus isn't physically touchable, he's still there, as if we're going through the storm and he's on our very boat. He is much with us as he was with the disciples on the boat. Just as much, okay? So what do you do when you guys have a problem? Do you trust that God is there? Like he said, even to the end of the age, even till the end of the world, he's there and beyond? Or do you look for something to cling on to? Because that's what the world did. That's what the world does now. They don't like this idea of an invisible God, or at least a God who doesn't make himself visible right now and who asks his people to live by faith. And even in the Bible times, the Israelites had a huge problem with this. That's why there was so much idolatry. And even though their God was powerful and their God did everything that the other gods couldn't, everybody else had a little action figure to worship, right? Everybody else had a little carved image that they could see and hold on to and say, I'm having a bad day, little tiki god. Put him under your pillow, whatever, pray to him, whatever. But that little piece of wood can't do anything. They had the real God, but he just was invisible. And so they turned to idolatry. And so we don't want that. Let's look what Jesus' response was now. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. That's all I need to read. I love that. Remember, God was, when Jesus was here on earth, he was fully man. So Jesus, knowing that this huge storm is coming, and obviously because he's still fully God too, so he knows, he can still see the future, he still knows what's going to happen. So as soon as Jesus gets on this boat, he knows that he's about to get overtaken by this huge storm, and Jesus is so worried about it, he takes a nap. Right? Now, most scholars say that this is at the end of a day. Jesus had been healing, teaching, preaching all day, and him obviously being man as well as God was exhausted. But you know what? I think God caused him to sleep. I think God put a deep sleep on Jesus so that he could see if the disciples were going to, in fact, live by the word. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Think about it. If Jesus was awake the entire time, as soon as the waves started coming in, as soon as the storm started to come in, they would have just looked to Jesus already and said, hey, do something about it. But by Jesus being asleep, they had a chance to not wake him up and to exercise faith and say, hey, I know that Jesus said we're getting to the other side, and I believe it. But you know what? That's a cool thing, you know? And I love that because God gives us so many chances each day to grow. And so many times we call things in our lives storms or problems, but they're not. They're opportunities. Every time you guys are in a struggle in life, don't think of it as a problem. Think of it as an opportunity to grow in faith. And I love this because the disciples are saying that what they're going through is about to kill them. They're saying we're perishing. And Jesus is asleep. This is a great lesson to us. Oh, by the way, God never sleeps, only when he came down here and he was a man. So don't worry, like God's not taking a nap right now anymore. But I love this because the great point is that when there's something in our lives that we feel like we're going to die from, that we can't make it any longer, God is so not worried about it. I love it because here's the deal. When they go and wake Christ up, he isn't like, what? We're going under. Does someone have like life jackets? Start bailing out the boat. Jesus isn't freaked out, right? They're like, Master, we're perishing. And Jesus literally pretty much gets up, simply rebukes the wind and says, you know, that means just basically saying, commanding the wind to stop. And it does. And it doesn't say what happens, but we don't even know. Jesus might have went right back to sleep. Isn't that awesome? So awesome that our huge problem that we feel like we're never going to make it through this problem. This one might be the end of us, the death of us. That God can simply change that by speaking into it. So whatever you're going in tonight that you feel is going to sink you, to God it's nothing. Okay? God doesn't think that your problem is gigantic. God thinks your problem is about this big. And he can change it with a snap of his fingers, but he wants you to learn something from it first. He wants you to grow in faith first. And so that's the best thing we can do. So how can we keep from going under in the storm of our lives? What could you say is our possible spiritual life jacket that will keep us afloat in the seas of life? This will bring us to our third point called the remedy. If you're a boater out there, sailor, whatever, the law requires that you have enough life jackets for all the people on board of your ship. And since we're technically on our ship, on a voyage here at Treasure Church, we need to know how and what can save us from a storm in life should something threaten to overtake us. Verse 25. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And then they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water to obey him." I love this. The disciples are freaking out. Jesus is sleeping. They're like, "Master, Master." He wakes up, rebukes the wind like, "Hey, enough wind, enough water." And because he's God, he has enough power to stop that. And then he simply looks at the disciples calmly and says, "Where's your faith? Like, where's your faith? What happened?" That's all he says. That's all it says that he said. Jesus answers them in a manner that they should have already known what to do. He answers them like, "Where is your faith?" Meaning, you know what to do when something like this happens. It would be like this. It's like the equivalent of this, okay? Imagine if you saw a bunch of people like outside of a boat. They like just jumped off the boat and now they're in the water and they're like, "Help! Help! We can't swim! We're dying." Okay, after you probably saved them, just like Jesus did, the second thing you would probably say is, "Why didn't you wear your life jacket? They're right there. How come you didn't do it?" Right? Because you need to float when you're about to go under to survive a storm. So why not use it? And the same goes for us. The text is showing that in a storm of your life, when you're going through something hard, Jesus is saying, use your faith. You have it. Trust in me. Faith is defined as one definition says, belief in and trust in and loyal to God. And so when Jesus says, where is your faith? He's basically saying, don't you trust me? Don't you believe me? I said we were going to the other side of the lake. And if the apostles had true, deep faith during the storm, they could have rested in that promise. They didn't have to wake Jesus up. They could have said, hey, Jesus said we're making it to the other side, and I believe who he is. But how about you guys? When something hard is in your life and you're fearful, what do? Do you go ask somebody else? Or are you okay to just rest in the promises of God? Because remember what God said? He said, I will never leave or forsake you. He said, I will be with you to the end of the age. He said, cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. He said, the Lord goes before you and goes with you. He says, God meets all of your needs according to the riches in Christ. Those and many, many more can be found in the Bible. So you can be just like the apostles were at this time, knowing that they were promised to get to the other side and then got scared. Or you can say, these are the very words of God that I'm reading. And so when God says that he's never going to leave me, when God says that even in the hardest of times, he goes before me, those aren't just words that are given to you from the person next to you, okay? Those aren't just words given to you by a man or a woman. These are the very words of God. I love it because in a hard time, people who aren't believers, they look for consoling from the world. They want somebody, a friend, to come over and say, it's going to be okay. There's no need to fear. Everything's going to be all right. But is it? I don't know. A person cannot guarantee a person that it's going to be okay. A human cannot tell a human that life is going to be okay, that your problem's going to be all right. We need to know that God and only God knows the outcome of the problem we're going through. And so by faith, we need to believe in that. We need to trust in that and not be overtaken by our problems and sink. So what are a couple things we can do to live by faith? Well, really easy. One way is to know the scriptures so that we can trust in them when we're confronted in a storm. Listen, if you don't know where to find I'll never leave or forsake you, then when you're going through a tough time, you're not going to know that Jesus said, I'll never leave or forsake you. You need to know the scripture, know the Bible to know the promises of God. We must know the word of God. Second thing after knowing the word of God is talking to God, prayer. All right? Prayer is going to strengthen your relationship with God. Listen, if this complete stranger came up to you and told you something, you'd probably be like, I don't know you. How am I supposed to believe you? Right? Who's this odd guy who's coming up here telling me something about my life? I don't know you. How do you even know anything about me? And the same is true for God. If you don't know God, then you're never going to trust in his promises because he's just going to be like another person that you don't even know. And they're going to come over and you're going to feel like, who's this guy? Who's this guy who thinks he can tell me how to live my life? But when you talk to him, you get to know him. He becomes your best friend. He becomes your savior. And then you can trust in the things he says, just like you trust your best friend when they tell you something. So get to know God. Grow in your faith, pray, and know the word of God. And know that nothing is, faith will only save you if you first have faith in Christ. You see, you have to first believe in Jesus as your Savior and that he died for you, for him to reveal more of himself to you. Even the apostles didn't physically need Jesus on the boat. They had a promise that they were going to get to the other side. That was good enough. And it's good enough for us too. All right? We need to know that. Listen, the more you follow God, the more he reveals. Okay? God isn't a secret. Faith isn't a secret. God will reveal more and more to you each time. Okay? It's fact. He's just going to show you a little bit more of it. When you come to the realization, when you have more faith, nothing's growing. You're just seeing more of God. You're seeing more of what's already there. It's not producing anything. You'll see, you'll know that you no longer need to see Jesus and God physically. You'll see him by the work in your life, by the things he's doing in your life. And trust me, okay? No matter what you're going through, Jesus promises, just like here, you're going to make it to the other side of your problem. I'm going to take you, I'm going to make sure that you get on the other side of the problem if you just put faith in me. So the remedy to a problem, the remedy to a sinking and feeling as if something's going to overtake you and even kill you is to trust God that he's faithful, because he is, and we can trust him. He will never let you down. And if you follow him wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly, by faith, faith is the realization that brings us. Faith is a realization. That brings us to our last point, which is called realization, the realization. The definition of realization is an act of becoming fully aware of something as a fact. Let's look at the realization that the apostles have here in the text. Verse 25. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water to obey him." More of Christ has just been revealed to the disciples. Okay? They just grew in faith a little bit. Their faith has just gotten stronger. They've seen how Jesus said, indeed, we're going to the other side of the lake. And that no matter what happens from point A when they get on the boat, whatever storm could bring down the mightiest of ships, they're going to make it to point B by the fact that Jesus said they would. You guys, nothing can affect the place God wants you to be at. Nothing. So they realized that it is in fact, and Jesus is fact, not just a man, but somebody who has the power to command weather, who has the power to tell wind to stop and waves to calm. Wow, what a realization they had. I had a realization too. Back in Colorado a while ago, someone told me about a thing called the Krispy Kreme donut, right? And I was like, and they kept telling me, like, hey, Krispy Kreme donuts are the best. Krispy Kreme donuts are the best. Every time they're great. You never get a bad one. And so I'm like, all right, well, all these people are telling me these things. I might as well go check it out. So I go out there and I go to Krispy Kreme and I check it out and I get one of those hot little donuts that goes in like 6 seconds and you end up eating like a dozen in like 5 minutes and ordering a second dozen within 7 minutes. Like it just keeps going on and on. And then I had a realization, man, these really are as good as everybody said they were. And here's the deal. The apostles had a realization too. They saw, and indeed saw that, hey, this guy is more than just a man. This guy is God. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see the Lord is good." And so by this experience, they've realized that the Lord is good. And here's the deal though. Just because it was good for the apostles doesn't mean it's good for you. So what about you? Because when you are faithful to trust and obey the Lord, even in the storms, after you go through the storms and realize that he's never left you and that through the whole thing it worked out better than it could have ever worked out if you were by yourself or you went forward alone, you should have a realization that he's amazing, that he is God, and that he'll never leave you. And then he promises he's going to take you on the other side of it. Listen, today, whatever problem you think is so big that no one can solve it, God can. All right? I pray that you would let God give him a chance to faithfully bring you to the other side of the storm. And when he does, you'll have the realization that this isn't just something we do, okay? This isn't something we just do on Wednesday nights. This isn't just something that we can do every now and then and live 90% of our life in. It's a all day, every day thing. The realization of God is powerful. To realize God is to know that God is fact. God is not made up. God is love. God is awesome. He is powerful. And he is always with you. I love that promise. And here's the deal. The disciples made a decision, right? They could have never gotten on the boat in the first place. Yeah, they didn't trust the Lord completely, but guess what they did do? They trusted him enough to get on the boat and set sail. And in the middle of everything, when the storm happened, they trusted in him. They could have trusted in his word, but they still clinged on to him and said, "Lord, take us through," and he did. But you guys can do that too. Maybe you're about to set sail through a problem. Get in the boat with the Lord. And then when something happens in your life that freaks you out and you feel like this is going to be the end of me, let him take you through it. I know that we're all going through storms in here right now. And maybe some of you think that you're right now with whatever's going on in your life, you're barely above water. You're like gasping for air every couple of seconds. You may feel like any moment you're going to sink and drown in the storm that you're facing. But here's the deal. Just like we said about in the beginning, the difference between something that's going to sink or float is the shape. And the difference between what's going to sink or float for Christians is faith. And so for those of you guys who have made a commitment to Christ tonight, remember his promises and trust in them. And go from sinking, and when you trust in them wholeheartedly, go to the top of the water and you'll immediately be floating. Don't make Jesus come to you and say, "Where is your faith?" as if you've just thrown it overboard. And if anyone here hasn't given their life to Christ or has fallen away, then all I can say is, I don't know what's going to happen with your storm of life. I can't promise you will be okay. If you have something going on right now and you do not have Christ and it feels like you're about to get overtaken, you might just get overtaken. I can't promise you that, because there's no promises in anything else but the cross of Christ. There's no promises about anything else but God. Only he makes promises. And so without the Lord tonight, if the disciples were non-believers, they didn't have Christ in their life, they were non-believing in God, that storm might have very well took them. They might not even be here anymore. But they got on the boat with Christ, they trusted him, and in the midst of a storm, they put their faith in him, and he took them through it. So put your faith in him and stop wondering if you're ever going to make it through the storm, and know that even when it's the most scary thing you're dealing with, that he's promised you security. Let's pray. Lord, God, we're here on this earth and we know that everybody has problems, Lord, and we all have storms that we're going through. And God, at times it even seems that there's things that we're being overtaken by. But God, I just pray that tonight, Lord, you would show us that you want to calm the storms of our life, God, that you want to take us through the storm, Lord, and take us to the other side, Lord, you promise. And I want everyone to know in here tonight, God, that, Lord, you are just as real as you were on that boat, Lord. We don't need to physically touch you. We can believe by faith and know that your promises are true. And God, I just pray that if there's anyone in here who's wrestling with something, God, that they would lay it down tonight. What a great night with worship and communion to lay things down at your feet. So God, I just ask that you would meet each person here, God, with their problem. Don't let them hide it anymore, Lord. Make them deal with it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. As they worship, you guys, we'll have leaders over here. We'll start communion in like 10 minutes, but if you guys just want to worship, give it to the Lord. Anything you guys need, we'll have leaders over here. Come pray with us, whatever you need to do. We love you.